This is Dave Gloetz of MrRadio.org. I'm speaking with Ben Jarofsky, who writes a weekly column for the Chicago Reader called The Works. Ben's column on January 17th, 2008 is titled A Good Day for Rainmakers, and he's here with me today to tell the rest of the story. Ben, another article about tax increment financing districts.
It won't be the last.
Many more to come. First, I want to notice that in this article, rather than give a primer to those not familiar with TIF districts, at the end you wrote that, quote, all you need to know is that a TIF district guarantees your property taxes will be raised. So keeping it a little more simple.
Yeah, I'm more than happy to give a primer on how TIFs work, but I've given so many of them over the years in so many articles that I think the people who've been following it already know it. Besides, I find that it's really irrelevant to the main point. If ultimately, the main point is that this is a tax hike, then let's just call it a tax hike. People don't feel compelled to explain how the utility tax works literally, or how the property tax works literally, or how, you know, a sales tax works literally. They just say it's a tax.
Right.
And it is a distraction to get into the internal workings of a TIF to show you how it works. And I've realized that that distraction is part of the success of the TIFs. Because people get muddied up in the incredibly convoluted details of how it works, and then they lose interest, and then so the tax continues.
So they get lost in the forest.
They get lost in the forest, and they don't see the trees. So let's stop the games. It's a tax.
Got it. Well, you wrote about the January 8th meeting. We're talking about the Community Development Commission, or CDC,
right,
which is the group of people appointed by the mayor,
right,
who are sort of the first level of approval for any given TIF district. You wrote that a bigger crowd than usual showed up for this meeting. I have a couple questions about that. First, I see from the Department of Planning's website that the CDC meets every month, usually on Tuesdays. And I'm guessing that's how you find out about CDC meetings.
Right.
Right. It's from the website. I'm curious about how residents even know when they should go to a CDC meeting that might affect them. And I was searching around for what's the process of notification. I found on the Neighborhood Capital Budget Group's website, when the CDC schedules a public hearing about a TIF district, quote, property owners within the proposed TIF must be notified by mail at least 14 days before the hearing. Presumably, that's how all those people knew to show up.
Well, yes and no. And before they get to the Community Development Commission level, the city feels compelled to hold at least one hearing or one meeting on a TIF proposal in the neighborhood affected by the TIF. So in the case of the TIFs that I wrote about, Rush and the TIF district in Hegwisch, there were public meetings about those proposals and
in the neighborhoods.
In the neighborhoods, and they had sparked opposition. People in both areas did not want the TIFs. There were no residents of the area who are not employed by Rush who spoke up for it.
Well, given that the city has not just started doing community meetings around TIFs before the CDC meetings, to what do you attribute all these people who showed up to this meeting?
The Central West TIF was created in 2000 to raise money for neighborhood projects. That was its stated goal. And many of the residents who showed up to protest at last week's CDC meeting had been there in the early '00s when the city created the TIF, and they remembered what was promised to them.
In what way was it promised?
The Department of Planning planners who show up at public hearings to make the pitch, the aldermen or the alderman staffers, in this case, Madeline Haythcock of the Second Ward, her staffers who show up at these meetings, make a pitch.
So you're saying there was a community meeting
yeah,
in which they said, we want to form this TIF because we want to give you a school or schools, we want to give you a library.
Well, I don't know about a library. I don't know if a library is part of the promise, but definitely money for schools, money for parks, money for local commercial development. That was the promise.
So in this case, just to jump ahead, in this case, the residents remembered what was said at those original meetings and subsequent
and they
meetings
said, yeah.
And said, you know, where is it?
So what happened was they drew a TIF boundary. Rush Hospital was not in that TIF boundary. What the city was proposing to do was to expand the boundary of this TIF so that it would encircle Rush Hospital and then spend the money that had been gathering in these TIF funds intended for local schools, parks, and local commercial development to spend $75 million on Rush. And the neighbors showed up to say, wait a minute, you told us schools, parks, commercial development. So far, we don't have any schools, and we don't have any parks, and we don't have any commercial development. Before you spend a nickel on Rush, you should make good on your obligations to us.
The corporate middle management background in me wants to show up one of these initial meetings and take notes and action items. Like, it's like, okay, you said, you know, who said, all right, they're going to give me what? Okay, we're going to list these things and then go read the meeting minutes back at the next meeting and say, okay, this, what is the status of this?
You know? Right. Well, that's what those residents did.
Yeah.
At this CDC meeting, they stood up and they accounted. They went down the list of things that were promised to them, and they then went down the list of things that had been delivered. And the closest they had to delivery was a park that's going to be built in about 2 years.
Yeah.
To which point they said, we find it hard to believe that you can't get it together to build one park in 7 years, yet you could overnight ship $75 million over to Rush.
Mm.
And so what they had discovered and what they were articulating is that the TIFs are slush funds that are there to be plucked by the city, by the mayor, and the local alderman for whatever purpose they want, regardless of what their stated goals were when they first were created. TIFs aren't even supposed to be used for schools or hospitals. They're supposed to be used for tax-producing developments.
Right. And schools and hospitals,
pay no taxes.
Yeah.
So it totally contradicts the whole purpose of the program.
Yeah. Let's talk about the other TIF, the Weed Fremont TIF. You wrote that the CDC recommended giving $8.5 million to Grossinger Auto Group to help build a car dealership near the intersection of North Halsted and Clybourne.
So what the city has come around and they've sort of argued, they've promoted the argument that this development, this particular auto mall, would not be able to be built without an $8.5 million subsidy, to which I, as a taxpayer, would say, well, then they shouldn't build it. If they can't make money building in this area, then they shouldn't be given money. We don't need to subsidize their development.
Yeah.
On top of that, there was this final insult, and that is at a time when our train system is falling apart, our public transportation system is falling apart, and there is such an inability on the city's behalf to finance, to contribute to the CTA, they're subsidizing the auto industry. And again, I thought that was kind of an insult or a contradiction coming from our city, which is supposedly such a green city, so progressive on the environmental issue.
Why do you think the city is reluctant to contribute more to the CTA?
Very simple. If the city dedicates more money to the CTA, more of the money that it raises through property taxes, then there's less property tax dollars for the mayor to dish out to things like Grossinger.
So then that money becomes spoken for and it's less money, it's sort of less fun money he can play with.
That's absolutely correct. The central fight that Mayor Daley's having with Governor Blagojevich and the state leaders is that Mayor Daley, as much as possible, wants the state to pick up the cost of operating public programs such as the schools and transportation. Why? Because the more of that bill they pay, the more of our property taxes he gets to spend for whatever he wants. If our property taxes went to finance public programs like schools and hospitals for the poor and public transportation, there would be less money to give to the Grossingers of the world for their auto development deals. But I think it's ludicrous to have a government that will pay more money toward auto dealership at the most congested, gentrified area of the city. They're going to give them more money than they're going to give the CTA.
The city's portion of funding to the CTA is about $3 million.
That's correct.
Yeah.
And Grossinger's going to get $8.5
million. Almost three times.
You know, but yeah.
Got it. Well, I think we'll leave it there. Thanks for that insight.
Excellent.
That insight on that. This is Dave Glowatz. I've been speaking with the Chicago Reader's Ben Jarofsky about the rest of the story. When you have a chance, check back at MrRadio.org for further installments or subscribe to our podcast. Thanks for listening.